You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I have three objects in my box here, and they are all connected, and I already talked to someone ahead of time and said you're not allowed to answer, so I'm looking this way. Okay, yeah, there he is. Also, if you happen to be a Prime group leader, or perhaps have pre-downloaded the discussion guide so that you're ready for this week for your discussion, you're not allowed to answer either because the discussion guide has the answer. And if you didn't know, the discussion guides are available online. You can get them as well at mc3church.org / whatever the current series is, and you can download them for your own personal enjoyment or just to pester and annoy your Prime group leader. But I've got three objects here, and they are connected, and so I will pull them out one at a time. The first one is bells. Okay. Get how these work? That's really pathetic. They're not really... Okay, anyway, there's bells. I'm going to move this here. Okay, so we got bells. Second thing I have here is the Gray's Sports Almanac from 1950 to 2000. So if you're familiar with this, with a dust jacket, okay? So bells and the Sports Almanac. This is just awesome. I got to get the right fingers in here because I was warned that inappropriate things could happen if I don't have... There we go. Yeah, I got the right one. So, an infinity gauntlet with sound effects. Let's see if it happens when I do this. Okay, it's all the same sounds. Okay, what's up with my pinky? There we go. So, these are the three objects. Any ideas how they're connected? All right. And, this would be a great Instagram photo, and I need one. I guess so. So, anyway, all right, who thinks they know how they're connected? All right, Ellie, what you got? No, they're not all from Back to the Future. All right. What did you say, Kurt? You can't answer because you know the answer. All right. They're Christmas. Okay. No, not the answer.
Time travel?
No. Yes, in the back? You read the discussion guide too. Yeah, but did you read the discussion guide because you're a Prime group leader? Okay. He did not read ahead of time. Okay. All right, what do you think the connection is?
We all came out of the same box.
So we just drop it right there? Drop the mic? Yes. They all came out of the same box, for those of you listening online. That was the brilliant answer that it returned that uproarious applause. Okay, Kirk, do you think you know? You didn't read ahead either. Okay, all right. Okay, that's Tuesday. So what you got? What do you think? Okay, changed in time. Close. All right. Okay, so first of all, anybody know where the... Well, let's start with the obvious. What's this from? Infinity War, Avengers Infinity War. Right. And of course, what was the glove used for, the Infinity Gauntlet used for? But specifically... Snap, right. The Infinity Glove, the Infinity Gauntlet snapped, and half of humanity ceased to exist. The Gray's Sports Almanac from 1950 to 2000 is from what? Back to the Future 2. How did this play in that movie? He made millions by gambling, right, because there was time travel involved. And then, anyone know what the bells are from? It's a Wonderful Life, because any time a bell rings, An angel gets its wings, right. So from It's a Wonderful Life. So here's the thing about these three movies. In It's a Wonderful Life, well, let's start with the obvious again. In Infinity War, once Thanos, sorry, this is a little spoiler. You've had a couple of years. It's like the biggest movie of all time, so sorry. But when Thanos snapped his fingers, half of humanity ceased to exist. And the beginning of the next movie started out with how, like, there was this opening scene of the Statue of Liberty and all these boats that are just crashed there. Because in an instant, half of humanity, half of all life on the world, I guess, too, in the universe, ceased to exist. Right? And in Back to the Future 2, old Biff found this in the future, which, what was the year of the future? It was 2015, yeah. So in the future, 2015, which was a few years ago now, future Biff found this almanac and went back to past Biff in the 1955, yeah. Went back to 1955 and gave this almanac to younger Biff. And so younger Biff knew how to bet on all of the upcoming sports things. And so in the process, younger Biff became super rich Biff. And again, spoiler, but come on, like that's 1987, I think. He became rich. And in the process, even Marty's own dad died. And so when Biff got the old almanac, or the old Biff got the almanac, the future ceased to exist. And certain people in the future ceased to exist. And of course, in It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, he lived his life and did a lot of great things for people. But as the climax of the movie, and now come on, you've had like 100 years to see this one. Huh? 70? 70? That's still like 100 years. 70 or 80. But when George gets to the climax of the movie, he says to Clarence, his guardian angel, "I wish I was never born." And so Clarence didn't snap his fingers, but Clarence made it so that George Bailey ceased to exist. And we spent a good chunk of the movie seeing what life was like without George Bailey. And of course, the town became Potterville because Potter became, you know, was in charge. And different people, like his brother, spoiler again, didn't survive the accident in the ice because George ceased to exist. And so in each of these movies, there were people that ceased to exist, and you got to see what life was like without them. I'm a little bit echoey up here. Can you pull me back just a hair? I don't know if it's coming through the monitors. What life was like when they ceased to exist. And the idea here is that, you know, in each of these movies, not as much quite with, I guess somewhat with Infinity War, but in each of the movies you saw, wow, those people mattered. Those people were necessary. If George Bailey hadn't been here, you know, the whole town lost out. If Biff, you know, if George hadn't, Marty McFly's dad, you know, if he hadn't done things his way, if he had existed, things would be very different. If Biff hadn't gotten the almanac, things would be different. And of course, in Infinity War, which I won't spoil the end game ending, but you realize, wow, those people mattered that weren't there. And so this ties into the point that we're talking about today. As we continue this series called What is MC3 City? We've got one more week next week. And as you heard in Kirk's video, these are our core values. These are what we do, kind of what guides us along this path of community caring, community congregation and caring. And the core value we're looking at today is locality, which I think is a word. I think it's a real word. And locality is this. The point is this. What happened? MC3 City is locality. We want to matter. That's the short version. We want to matter. And just like in these movies, we want, and we've said this over the last 12 years of MC3's history, we want this community to notice, to be disappointed if MC3 ceased to exist. If we stopped being here, we want people to notice. And we're not talking about this glorious, beautiful property that we just discovered, another leak in the roof back there. We're not talking about this. We're not talking about our events or our programs or things like that. We're talking about the church, which is you and me, the people of God, the followers of Jesus. And so this idea is that if you cease to exist, would your neighbors even notice? If you cease to exist, would your coworkers miss you? And that's kind of this idea. We want the community to miss us when we're gone, when we're gone, when we're gone. Anyway, but that's the idea. And so here's this passage in Acts chapter 2 that we talked about in the very first week of this series, which was back at the beginning of September. In Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, we talked about the C3 process, which is over here on the board, and I'm going to pull it out into the middle. All right, so here's the C3 process. We talked about this the very first week, and now you can even zoom in on this with that special button. And so we talked about Acts chapter 2 and this whole passage. We said if we're going to start a church 12 years ago, if we're going to start a church that's based on not just how church is done today or what America thinks church is, but let's look at how did the first church do it. And so that's where we looked at this passage, this description of the early church. And we came up with these three things. And again, the very first week of this series, which was what is biblically, we talked about community, congregation, and caring. But we looked at this passage and we read through it, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a line here that's highlighted that says they broke bread in their homes, they ate together, praising God, and enjoying the favor of all the people. So even 2,000 some years ago, the Jewish community, because this was in Israel at the time, in Jerusalem, frankly, that the community was grateful that the church existed. They were glad. And we want to have that same impact on the people around us. We want to enjoy the favor of all the people, that they're glad that we exist, that they're glad that you, as a follower of Jesus, exist in their community, in that job, in that neighborhood, in that school, in that Walmart, wherever you find yourself. And so we look at this passage. So here's the full version of this core value, what we call locality. And it says, this is on our website at mcthechurch.org/core values. We want our local community to be glad that we are here. We value being a part of our community in both presence, meaning we're involved in the community, and in serving. And this block party that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and we need your help. Like, if you don't want to do this, then let's just not do it. I don't want to be guilt tripping, but be like, why don't we do more for our community? Here's your chance. Simple way, we need people to serve and get involved in this. But we want to just be a presence. There's no hidden agenda. We're out front about everything. We're doing worship under the stars. We're telling people we're going to worship. There's no secret thing. I'm not, and some of you might judge me for this, but that's okay. I'm not even going to share the gospel. Because our goal is not to say, hey, come to our free again. Let me beat you with Jesus. Yeah. No, our goal is to say, we're glad you're part of our community. Let's have fun together. And then you know what? If you're like, wow, this is a church, and you want to check us out on Sunday, we'd love to have you. And just kind of handling things that way. And so we want to be a presence, but also to serve. Like we want, and I'm, again, not MC3, not our C3 caring pastor. It's not his job to serve. It's our job to serve the people around us. And again, that might be your neighbors. That might be your classmates. That might be your coworkers. Whatever that looks like. Making a difference by serving the people around us. And so again, this idea of what if we cease to exist because we want to matter. And so I want to just share this passage. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll go ahead and hit the house lights here. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to talk about how to matter. What does it look like? How do you matter to the people around you? And again, we're going to be kind of breaking down this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. And there's four things that are here that come from this passage. And again, let me just, again, reiterate. When I say the community would be disappointed if we cease to exist, if I say that Mifflin County would be upset because we're not here, I am not talking about the pastor of the church. I am not talking about we're not even a 501c3, the nonprofit organization, the corporation known as Mifflin County Community Church Incorporated. I am talking about the church, which is followers of Jesus. If none of you were here, we would not have a church, just to be clear. And I'm not talking about budget. I'm not talking about giving. I'm saying this is not the church. This is. So just to be clear, because it's easy to be like, oh, yeah, you guys should do more. They should do. They. No, it's you, me, I, we, us. We need to do this. So how to matter? The first thing that we can do is to live on purpose. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to be breaking down one verse. Chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to look at it in four different parts. And by the way, I should have mentioned in the opening slide, we did a series called Christmas at the Movies, Part 1, a couple years ago, and you can listen to the whole breakdown of It's a Wonderful Life, because we talked about that. And we're doing Christmas at the Movies 2 coming up in December, and having some more fun with Christmas movies. Anyway, so 1 Peter 2, verse 12, Part A, says this: be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Peter says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Now, this phrase neighbors, the Greek word is ethnos. That's the word language they spoke. That was what Peter used. And ethnos doesn't just mean the people that live on both sides of your house. It means the people you're with, the people that you are around, the people that you're with, the people that you're that are around you that are not followers of Jesus. So that might be, again, it might be your physical neighbors. It might be your coworkers. It might be your mailman. It might be the person that checks you out, meaning registers, the checkout register at the grocery store. It might be the person that checks you out, whatever. But anybody that is around you, maybe the person that sits next to you in class or the person that sits across from you or on the other side of the cafeteria from you. But the idea is the people that are around you, wherever you find yourself, that don't know Jesus. And so Peter says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. He also says among. I mean, I could go crazy on this, but like, he doesn't say leave. And that's this idea of our core values, that we want to be in the community. I mean, I grew up in churches that were like, hey, let's do our own church things and expect them to come. And when the community doesn't come, get mad at them because they're all pagans and they're going to hell. That's their problem with people today. Like, no, what if we actually do something and say, we're going to be in this community. And part of our values, we talk about simplicity. We don't have church on Wednesday night so that you guys can be involved in things. We don't have a church softball league. We did have a team, we're hoping maybe revive that in the future, a team that was involved in a non-church softball league. So the idea is being around, being among people that don't know Jesus. And Peter says, live properly, be careful to live properly. Do what it takes. Take the steps to live properly. And we're going to come back to that in a bit, break down some things, some ways that we can live properly among our unbelieving neighbors. But here's something I want you to consider. And this is, like, I would say maybe 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, this wasn't quite as true. But I think it's pretty true at this point. And that is that you may be the only follower of Jesus that your unbelieving neighbors know, that your coworkers know, that your classmates know. And I'm not talking about people that show up at church or they go there on they're the creasters, that they go on Christmas and Easter. I'm not talking about the people that show up to church because they go to a funeral. I'm saying people that follow Jesus, you might be the only one that those people know. And so Peter says, live properly, live among them. Be very intentional. Live on purpose. Because you might be the only Jesus they ever see. And it's easy for us to be like, yeah, somebody else should do that. But God has placed you where you are. We were talking about this in Prime Basics last week. Like, it's not an accident, the relationships that you have, where you are, the job that you're in. And you might hate your job because you're surrounded by all these people that are just jerks. But maybe they're not just jerks. Maybe, as we looked at last Sunday, they're just weak. And they need someone to show them Jesus. And God has placed you there to be that person. Live in a way that will point them to Jesus. And we talked about this in Prime Basics last week too, in our Prime group. Like, this doesn't mean be fake. This means be real. And sometimes you're going to be a human, and it's not a good enough excuse. We're going to talk about this next month in our Drastic series. But sometimes you're human, and you're going to fail. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. You're going to do something you shouldn't have done. You're going to say something you shouldn't have said. And what you do in those moments is you go back and say, I was wrong. Three words. I was wrong. And that apology to people that don't know Jesus might be the difference. Rather than trying to be fake and shiny plastic people and everything's perfect, just be real. But do everything you can to honor Jesus I'm getting ahead of myself. Do everything you can to honor Jesus. And again, that means being real. And sometimes that's apologies. sometimes that's, you know what, I'm sorry. And I can guarantee if you were to apologize to a coworker for saying something or getting caught up in or at your class lunch table for getting caught up in discussion or tearing down other people and then the next day apologize, they're going to be like, what? I've never heard of anything like this. And then you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus. But that's a little bit of a spoiler. So live on purpose. That's the first thing. And we'll talk about what that looks like in a moment. The second thing is give them space. Give them space. So if you're around people that don't believe in Jesus, they're going to act like people who don't believe in Jesus. And so, you know, and this is probably not a brain buster. You're not like, whoa, I never thought about this at MC3. But people are going to be jerks. They're going to swear. They're going to be obnoxious. They're going to take advantage of you. They're going to say things that are going to hurt you. They might cheat the clock and expect you to cover. Like, there's going to be a bunch of things that are going to happen. They might talk about people that are friends of yours. They're just going to act like people that don't know Jesus. And this idea of giving them space says, it's okay. Just let that go. Don't worry about their behavior. Show them about their belief. Like point them to Jesus before you say, well, you need to fix that first. And we talked about that last week a little bit. And so this is what he says in the second part of verse 12. He says, be careful to live properly among your unbeliever neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong. See, Peter says they're not going to like it if you actually live with integrity. They're not going to like it if you don't treat the rest of your classmates the way they are. They're not going to like it if you do things and look and are just polite and kind. I mean, I think I shared with you guys before. I actually had some, when I worked at Dairy Queen way back in the day, I had someone call the manager because I was nice to this really mean lady in the drive-thru. I worked there. I was nice to this mean lady in the drive-thru, and she's like, go get your manager. Because she was sure that I was just making fun of her because I was actually going, I'm sorry you feel that way. I was being polite and kind. And Peter says, just give him space. Let him be that way. It's okay. Expect that. Expect that. Don't try to change it. Don't try to jump in there and say, oh, see, well, you're wrong and I'm better than you. Like, no, no. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, it's expected. And we just sang a song about if Jesus is going to suffer, then we should expect to suffer with him. Jesus suffered. We should expect to suffer with him. Because this world needs Jesus, and we might be the Jesus they see. And so Peter kind of says, just give them space and be patient. Because, I mean, when it comes to following Jesus, it's a long game. If you're looking for quick changes, like, this isn't the spot. Maybe a plastic surgeon. Consider going into plastic surgery. I think that's probably a quick change. But coming to Jesus usually isn't. Usually it's a journey. And Paul talks about this. We don't have it on the screen. But he talks about how, you know, different people came along. And some people planted seeds. And some people watered. But then eventually God provided the growth. And we need to realize that God has placed you around people that need Jesus. And if you want to matter to them, if you want it to be a point where if you cease to exist, they would go, what happened to them? Where did they go? Because they were making a difference in my life. But if they act and accuse you of things that are wrong, just go with it. And we'll come back to this a little bit, but it's not a matter of you getting your way and being right and saying, oh, no. Peter says, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So give them the space to let that happen. The world already has a bad opinion of Christ followers. You don't need to make it any worse. You don't need to be like, oh, well, see, let me tell you about what you're doing and how it's wrong. That's not the goal here. Heart change starts here, and then the outward change comes. Jesus works here, and then the rest of it comes. We, again, just talking about this in Prime Basics. By the way, we're going to offer Prime Basics again in the spring, so if you want to be a part of that, you can be a part of these discussions. But we were talking about, I remember having this conversation with a server, a waitress, at one of the local restaurants. And she shared how all of her coworkers hated the Sunday afternoon shift. Because that's when all the church people would come. And the church people were obnoxious, throw them a tract or tell them about how they need to act like, you know, how they need to come to church or come to Jesus. And of course, they're working on the Sabbath, which isn't Sabbath, that's Sunday, but anyway, that's Saturday. But then they would say those kind of things, and then they wouldn't even tip well. And then maybe they'll be like, oh, well, I'll give them the true life. and I'll throw a dollar into a tract that tells them about Jesus. And like, so you have local servers at restaurants going, I hope I don't have to work the shift where all the church people show up. That is messed up. That is wrong. We should be the ones making the difference. We should be the ones who are going, I can't wait. Oh, you got the Sunday afternoon crowd. That's awesome. Oh, I wish I had that. They're such good tippers. They're so kind, polite. They came back and washed the dishes with me. I'm like, what is up with that? Like, whatever that looks like. But give them space. And so we don't need to add to this, I hate the church. So give them the space. And, you know, maybe if you're trying, like we said, if one person's watering, one person's planting seeds, one person's watering, and God's providing the growth, maybe you just need to take one for the team because there's a bigger picture here. And so Peter just says, be aware. They're going to accuse you of doing wrong. Give them the space. Let them do that. Because their heart and eternity is far more important than their behavior right now. So live on purpose. Give them space. And then stick with it. Stick with it. This, like I said, this is a long game. This isn't an instant thing. This isn't I was really nice to this person at the lunch table and they didn't turn to Jesus that day. Just stick with it. And you're going to keep doing the right thing. You're going to keep living properly. And they might keep talking about you. They might badmouth your behavior. They might jump on you for the way you act. Oh, you're a goody two-shoes. You're a church person. I don't know what people say today. Maybe they'll just be like, they're just hating on you. Because you're just fake. You've got to be fake because no one's really that nice. But stick with it. And that's what Peter says. He says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. Stick with it because it's going to stand out. It's going to make a difference. If you are living properly, if you are honoring Jesus in the way you live, they're going to notice. And I guarantee they're going to notice. But if you give up and blend in, then they'll be like, oh yeah, that's what I expected. You're another one of those fake church people. Let me guess, you want money right now for something? But if you stick with it, it's the long game. It's patience over time, saying, you know what? Eternity is worth it. Their eternity, their heart, their eternity with Jesus is worth someone going, oh, I think you're dumb. It's worth someone talking about your character. If your perseverance, if your patience is what draws them to Jesus. And, you know, we asked this question last week about this idea of change and you know, how it's hard to change and it's going to take risk. And aren't you glad that someone risked for you? Because as we saw last week, it was not a very good ROI. It was not a good return on investment. You invest everything and get back a little. And I would say the same thing to this point, too. Aren't you glad that someone saw your eternity as more important than their impatience? Then their willingness to be like, you know what, I tried, it's not worth it. So stick with it. Live on purpose, give them space, stick with it. And finally, watch God work. And this is important because God is the only one that can change hearts. You cannot change a person's heart. You will never be able to change a person's heart. God is the one that does it. And sometimes you're like, if you spend time trying to tell people about Jesus, being an example about Jesus, you might see this slow change, and you're like, oh, yeah, and then it kind of happens. Other times, you'd be like working and nothing, and boom, one day they're like, I need Jesus. And Roxy shared her story a couple weeks ago in the video. Like, that's her story. She was baptized a month ago, or three weeks ago. Like, it's this thing of, okay, what does it look like to watch God work? And that's what Peter says. Be careful to live properly among your enemies. Then if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honor. And then they will give honor to God when he judges the world. And what Peter is saying here is that your example, your living properly, your willingness to matter in their lives is going to make a difference. And it might not be you put in 100% effort, you get 100% back. We talked about that last week. But if it makes a difference to that one, it matters. And you were the one that it mattered to. And so Peter says, just Just live this way. Wait for them to accuse you. It's going to happen. But continue. Stick with it. And then watch God work. And let Him use you to change someone's eternity. And again, like I said, God is the one that changes hearts. And we're going to talk about this next month in Drastic as well. You can't stop Him. Okay? You can't stop God's heart. God from changing someone's heart. You can't get in the way. You can't be so awful that God's like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oops, never mind. God's going to change someone's heart, and He's going to do it. The question is, are we going to have the privilege of being involved in that process? And kind of hearing some of the stories, and you know, even your own stories of coming to Jesus, and you wonder what other people would hear your story and go, man, I was that close. I should have stuck with it. And I would have been able to say, yeah, can I help baptize you? Because I'm the one that led you to Jesus. That God used to lead you to Jesus. So we can't get in the way of that. And so don't stress that either. But at the same time, don't miss out on the fact that it's a privilege. It's a joy. I remember when I was in seventh grade, sitting in the back of our youth group van, leading a girl to Jesus. Like, we went to this Christian concert for a guy named Eric Champion. He's probably dead now because he's really old then, and I'm really old now, so you get it. And after this Christian concert, she was like, I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. And there were like four of us, there were upperclassmen there, and I'm not saying this in a boastful way, but everybody was kind of like, Sean, what do we do? I'm like, let's talk about Jesus. And riding in this van for an hour and back to the church and praying with her through trusting Jesus and getting out of the van and getting home that night going, what did I just do? What an incredible opportunity. Wow. Like, God used a seventh grade little twerp, and I wasn't as big then as I am now. And used me to change this girl's heart. And of course, it wasn't me. It was God working through all these people. But what a privilege and what a joy. And that's the point here, is that just stick with it. Because God can use you, and you get to be a part of the privilege of seeing someone turn their life from darkness to light, from hell to eternity with Jesus, from hopeless to hopeful. And so that's how to matter. And we want it so that if you stopped existing, if you were no longer the coworker of that person, that they would go, wow, there's something missing here. I'm missing something. I really wish they were back here. I'm disappointed that they're gone. That church that used to be there on the corner, they still have that building and it looks just as bad as it did before. But none of the people are here, and wow, our community misses the impact that we're making. And we sponsored the pool last summer. Did that sponsorship go to like, hey, because we're sponsoring the pool, people are going to just dive off the diving board and get baptized right there? Like, that was not it at all. But we said to our community, you know what? If the pool is going to shut down, and that matters to you, then it matters to us. A number of years ago, we gave money to the Lewistown Police Department because they had a grant to get body cameras so that they could, you know, serve the community and have it on, you know, footage, you know, how life is now. And when COVID swung through, like, they lost the grant. And so we stepped up and said, then this is how we can help as a church. Because we have a line item. We talk about this every year. The elders have us. It's called our C3 Opportunity line item. And it has to go to the community. And it can't be anything that we get back from it. We gave money to the library one year. Like, because we want our community to know, you know what, we care about you. We care about the things that you care about. And that's the same with you and your coworkers and your friends and your neighbors and your classmates, to say, I care about you and I care about the things that you care about. And I'm here for you. I want to help you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm going to be with you. And if you mock me and make fun of me, that's okay, because I'm sticking with it. Because that's how I can matter. To live on purpose, give them space, stick with it. And then watch God work. That's how to matter. That's how to make a difference. And did you notice how I said, make sure you understand how every book of the Bible fits into the whole scope of the picture? Make sure you understand every major branch of theology, soteriology, hamartiology, eschatology, ecclesiology, angelology, demonology. Am I missing any? I think I got all the ologies. Make sure you understand all that too. No. All you just need to do is be nice and live like Jesus and watch God work. That's how to matter. It doesn't take all the tools and techniques and skills. And learn the Bible. Understand how it fits together. We did multiple series about that. Because it matters. We talk about these different branches of theology because they matter. But when it comes to sharing Jesus with someone, just be kind. Live properly. And I love this is the Message version. Eugene Peterson paraphrased this passage. He says, live an exemplary life, same passage, 1 Peter 2:12. Live an exemplary life in your neighborhood so that your actions will refute their prejudices. They already have an opinion about the church, about followers of Jesus. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. That's how to matter. So that if you weren't here, the people around you would miss you because of the way you acted, because of your love, because of your compassion, because of the way you served. Live on purpose, give them space, stick with it, watch God work. Because MC3 City is locality. We want to matter. We want to matter to the people around us. And again, most of my church upbringing, everything was kind of about how the church, you know, we kind of build this thing that's our thing. And if you want to come in, you're welcome to. But by the way, make sure you don't have blood on your button-down collared shirt. But instead, you know, we care about the people around us. Why? Because they need Jesus. So we want to matter to them. So, I don't even know why. Oh, yeah, okay. So, 1 Peter 2:12. I know I have that slide there. He says, live properly. What does it look like to live properly? And I'm going to suggest three things here. Just some kind of guidelines, some things about what this could look like for you, what this could look like for me, for us together as we attempt to live properly, because we're supposed to live properly. If I can get there on my notes, slowly. The first thing is what I'll call willingly doing. Willingly doing. And the question is, are you willing to do things that are beneath you? Are you willing to serve people that frankly don't even need to be served? Are you willing, as perhaps a boss or a higher level employee, to do something that is not part of your job description for the sake of someone else? And I'm not talking about cheating or going around the system or doing anything inappropriate or anything like that. I'm just saying, are you willing to be like, yeah, you know what? I know that I'm the manager of the store, but I'll go ahead and mop the floor. Are you willing to do the things that no one else is willing to do? Are you willing to go to places, to the people that no one else is willing to go to? In Luke chapter 10, you guys are familiar with the story. We had a whole series called Welcome to the Neighborhood, with a visit from Mr. Rogers every week. You can find that on the opening and close, or the slide there at the beginning of the announcement loop. But the story, you probably are familiar with it. There's a Jewish guy, and he's going down the road, and he gets beaten up by robbers and thieves, both of them at the same time, robbers and thieves. And they got him, and he was on the side of the road bleeding, and then Jesus is telling this story, this parable. And first of all, a Jewish leader comes by and sees the guy and just completely avoids him. And then a temple worker, a Levite, someone that works in the temple, comes by, sees him, like, nope, I'm not touching this guy. But then a Samaritan comes in. And Samaritans were hated by the Jewish people. They were the enemy. They were culturally unclean. There were so many reasons. And so that's what it picks up here. It says, then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. So that's a first step. The other two people, the heroes were supposed to be the Jewish leader and the Levite, the priest and the Levite. They were supposed to be the ones like, oh, they're the heroes. No, they were not. They were the bad guys in this story. The Samaritan was the hero. And so he felt compassion. That's a big step. But then it says going over to him. So now the Samaritan took the steps to go to the person that the other people would ignore. He took the steps to go to his enemy. And then what did he do? The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. So he not only went over to the guy, not only felt compassion, went to him and didn't go, oh, yeah, sorry, I'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers. See ya. He went over and said, and actually helped him soothed his wounds, helped him with his needs, where his needs are. And then he put the man on his own donkey, so now you're not riding anymore. You're walking, and this guy is riding, puts him on his own donkey, and took him to an inn where he took care of him. So he brings him to an inn, pays for a room. Hey, I'm going to take care of you here. And then, the next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling the innkeeper, take care of this man, and if his bill runs higher than this, then I'll pay. I'll pay you the next time I'm here. And then Jesus goes, and actually the religious leaders in the crowd were talking to Jesus about this, and they said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the religious leader had said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, let me tell you this story. So he tells the story and then says to this man, so who was the neighbor? And they're like, Samaritan. Yes, stupid Samaritan. He's the hero. He's the neighbor. Because that was the point, that it was the one that was supposed to be the enemy. But the enemy, the Samaritan, took the steps. They were willing to do that. So when Peter says to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, it might mean you're doing things that you don't have to do. It might mean that you're going to them in a way that you don't have to, but you're willing to do it. Why? Because their eternity is at stake. Because there's more things than your comfort and your convenience. Because you want to matter. So you're going to do the things. And it might mean literally your neighbor, that you're the one that's mowing their lawn if they go out of town or can't do it. Maybe you're shoveling their snow. Maybe if it's a coworker, you know, you're helping them out with that task that they found difficult and you stuck around a little bit longer. Maybe it's going and sitting at the table that the people that are cool don't sit at. Maybe going to them and saying, I'm going to sit here. And it might cost you ridicule and laughter. And you might be grouped with them. But you're willing to do it because Jesus suffered and you can suffer. And if that's what it takes to bring them to Jesus, then do it. So willingly doing. And the second thing is intentionally losing. Intentionally losing. And as Americans, this one's hard because we have our rights. We have a constitution full of them. We've got all these things that are supposed to be what we do. I mean, it's called the Bill of Rights, right? The amendments, like this idea of what I deserve and what's right and what's proper. And sometimes we're going to need to lose for the sake of the big win. We're going to need to lose our rights and give up things for the sake of someone else's heart. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, do everything to the church in Philippi. He's writing now to these believers, these followers of Jesus. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Everything without grumbling or arguing. Like right there, that's impossible. Come on, Paul. Come on. Can I just grumble a little bit? Or aren't there certain things that I'm allowed to be like, yeah, I'm not going to do that stupid thing. Well, what if the person that asked me to do it isn't there? Can I talk them about behind their back? Can I gather some of my church friends and be like, can you believe that? Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do it all. Well, what if my neighbor asked me to help them and they've been just awful. And then they need help. Do it without grumbling or arguing. Well, okay, but I've got this coworker that constantly shows up late. I'm the one that has to deal with it because I have to cover for them, not because I'm hiding it, but I have to do the extra work when they show up late. And then they ask me to drive them home from work. They have the guts to do that? Yeah, do it without grumbling or arguing. And that means you're going to lose. That means you're losing. And that might mean you're going to help your neighbor with something and there might be a line between your properties and you're like, but I don't, this is my property and how dare you mow on my side of the line. But you know what? You can get into a fight about it or you can intentionally lose. You can do it without grumbling or arguing. Why, Paul? Why should we do this? Because it's kind of impossible. He says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And that's a quote from Moses' final speech in Deuteronomy right before he died. He says, so that by doing this, you will become blameless and pure in the midst of a generation, in the midst of a group of people that are warped and crooked, in the midst of a culture that is not honoring God, you're going to do this without grumbling or arguing. You're going to intentionally lose. You're going to give up your rights. in that way. Why? He says, then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Paul says, live your life, and if you have to do something, it means give up your rights, and you have to do something, no, I don't have to do this, and you're going to complain. He says, don't do that. Because by not grumbling or complaining, by giving up your rights, by intentionally losing, you're going to stand out in this world. Because everybody else complains. Everybody else grumbles. Everybody else says no. Everybody else says, well, according to my rights, according to the union bylaws, according to the whatever, 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 I do not have to do this. And Paul says, by doing that, you're going to stand out. And you're going to stand out and you're going to shine as you hold firmly the word of life. Why are you different? Why did you do this for me? I didn't deserve it. You gave up your rights. Let me tell you about my Jesus and what he did for me that I did not deserve. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Are you willing to lose? Because that's when Peter says to live properly, that's part of it. Saying, you know what, I'm giving up my rights, I'm giving up my position, I'm giving up my authority, I'm giving up whatever it is I think I deserve, my comfort, because I would rather give up that and see your eternity change. I would rather give up that and know that if I disappeared, that wasn't a very good snap there. If I disappeared, if I ceased to exist, you would miss me because we want to matter. So willingly doing the things, going to the places that no one else is willing to go, doing the things no one else is willing to do, intentionally losing, willing to give up your rights, what you deserve, what's fair, what's equitable, so that you can stand out and shine among your neighbors, shine among the people around you that don't know Jesus, and then they're going to go, you're really shiny. Why is that? Let me tell you about my Jesus. And then the third thing is gently sharing. And I think this is one of those things that gets to be a little tricky because when it comes to this idea of you know, I'm going to let my actions be my testimony. That's one of I'm a silent witness. Those are things that we used to hear in youth group in church growing up, which meant like, I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus, but I'm going to expect that they look at me and go, so thank you for shoveling my snow. I'm pretty sure that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I'm a sinner, and without believing in him, I'm going to go to hell, and because you shoveled my snow, that now I know that I'm going to go to heaven if I simply believe without doing anything, but simply believe by the grace that Jesus has offered me on the cross that I'm now going to go to heaven. It's possible. God can do anything, but chances are you might need to talk a little bit. You might need to actually share. And this is what Peter says actually later in the same book that we're reading right now. He says, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. So stand out. Shine like stars, as Paul said. Live properly among your unbelieving neighbors so when they see something in you. So worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to ignore them and let your actions be your witness. That's not what he says. He says, always be ready to explain it. And there's some things here, and we talked about this in two series. We talked about it in our Duplicate series, and that slide is on there as well. And we talked about in the Ampersand series when we compared serving and speaking and which one is more important. And the answer is yes. But the assumption here is that you are living properly, that you are willingly doing, that you are intentionally going, that you are mattering enough that they're going, what is different about you? What is it about you? Are you on drugs? Like, what is your thing here? Are you expecting me to give you money? Like, there's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. And Peter says, then always be ready to explain. And then he says, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. And this means, well, oh, you're curious why I cover for you and do the extra work and don't complain about it? It's because you're a loser and you show up late every day, and frankly, I don't even know why the boss should hire you, but because you're such a loser, you're going to hell. And because you're going to hell, you need Jesus. You know, like, that's probably not a gentle and respectful way. Say, hey, let me tell you about what God has done in my life. And that's the thing, right? Also, you can explain your hope, and it doesn't have to be the full story and the Romans road and the all the pieces. Just tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. And if they have questions, try to answer. And if you can't answer the question, say, hey, why don't you check out our church? Because there's a whole bunch of people there that can't answer your questions either. Even the guy up front. Like, we'll bring them all and we'll be like, I don't know about that either. That's kind of crazy. But here's what I know about God and what Jesus has done in my life. Always be ready to explain it. Do it in a gentle and respectful way. He says, keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, same theme, right? Do the right thing. If they speak against you, they will be ashamed. Why? When they see what a good life you live, because you belong to Jesus. Not a good life you live because you're a good person. Not a good life you live because you want to get the next promotion. Not a good life you live because you want to be the teacher's pet and you know that if you're extra nice to your teachers, they'll probably go your way when it comes to the B versus A line right there in the middle. They're going to give you the A. No. Live a good life because you belong to Jesus. And he says, remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. And so it brings it all back, full circle. We want to speak gently because good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people do. So that's what it looks like to live properly. We need to be willing to do the things that no one else is doing, go to the people no one else is willing to go to. We need to intentionally be losing, be willing to say, you know what, it's not about my rights, it's not about my pride, it's not about what I deserve, because your eternity is more important than my current comfort. And then being willing to gently share. Thank you. There is something different in me. I'm not perfect. I'm messed up. I'm broken. But let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life and how he has changed me. Would you love to maybe come and check out our church on Sunday? Oh, that's too much. Hey, no sweat. We've got a group of people that just meet in our leader's house. There's about 10 of us. You could come and meet there and we talk about things there. Oh, that's too much. Okay, no sweat. Our church is having a block party for the community. There's free food, music, prize giveaways. Like, why don't you check that out? Okay. Whatever it takes. Because their eternity matters so much more. So MC3 City is locality. We want to matter. Don't you want to matter? I you know, without getting too morbid here, have you ever been to a funeral where people didn't like the person that died? Or didn't know the person that died? Because I have. It's awkward. Like, I don't know what to say about them. No one wants to share because no one has anything to share because they were just grumpy or mean or whatever. We want to matter. And not just matter so that people will say, hey, you're a great person. You're so wonderful. We want to matter so that people say, tell me about the difference in your life. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for giving us the privilege of being involved in what you are doing, not just to change moments and hearts right now, but hearts for eternity. That you are using, would use people like us, sinful, messed up, broken, imperfect, selfish people like us, to point people to your selfless love on the cross. And I pray for each person in this room, each person listening online, watching online, that you would help us just to take stock, not to be perfect, but to be real, so that we matter to the people around us, so that we are living properly among the people around us that don't know you, so that they will see a difference in us and ask us about you. God, I pray that you would help us to do that, whatever it takes, and to just take the time to consider, who are the people? Who are the people in our neighborhood? Who are the people around us? School, work, neighborhood, community, that don't know you. And show us how we can live properly among them, how we can matter among them. And thank you, God, for giving us this privilege, sparking something that launched almost 12 years ago that is not about any person, it's not about anybody, but it's all about Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.